Today is September 2nd, 2026. This is your FinTech briefing from Macro Observer. In the next 8 minutes, we'll cover the Fed's split signal problem out of Jackson Hole, the mortgage market's decoupling from rate cut hopes, and the quiet migration of construction credit into private markets at double-digit yields. Start with the number that should worry every bank treasurer watching this cycle. September rate hike odds moved from roughly 1-in-3 to 2-in-3 in a single trading session. That's what happened after Fed Governor Christopher Waller's Jackson Hole remarks, according to Kitco News' interview with Blue Line Futures' Phil Strebel. The 10-year Treasury pushed above 4.75%, and the 2-year-10-year spread flattened to 39 basis points. That's a meaningful repricing, and it happened almost entirely on the strength of one official's commentary. Here's where it gets structurally interesting. On the same stage, in separate remarks, Fed Governor Kevin Warsh said something that Housing Wire's Mortgage Rates Center flagged as driving 30-year conforming mortgage rates to 7.06%. Normally, you'd expect hawkish Fed signals and mortgage rates to move somewhat in tandem. They didn't cleanly here, and the reason matters. The Treasury's expanded long bond buyback program, announced for September 9th, actually widened the term premium rather than compressing it, per a Pivot Financial Investor note. The broader fintech pattern here is that mortgage relief is no longer a reliable derivative of Fed policy. Even if the Fed eventually cuts, the long end of the curve, and therefore mortgage pricing, is being shaped by a completely separate lever, Treasury issuance mechanics. That decoupling is already visible in origination data. Purchase demand is down 5.4% year over year, and government refinance volume has collapsed 30.1% year over year, according to MBA figures cited in the same report. Looking at the regulatory landscape underneath these rate moves, the labor picture gives the Fed less cover than the headline suggests. David Rosenberg, via Wealthion, points to a July non-farm payrolls print of negative 23,000, with U6 underemployment at 7.9%, against a headline U3 rate of 4.1%. Prior 12-month revisions came in at negative 79,000. Private payrolls revised down 178,000. Government revised up 99,000. Which tells you the real monthly job creation trend is closer to zero than the 150,000 baseline everyone had been assuming. Consensus for the September 5th report sits at just 55,000. Meanwhile, the inflation impulse is increasingly supply-side rather than demand-pull. Wheat, sugar, and cocoa all posted double-digit gains in August alone, per Kitco. That distinction matters for loan loss provisioning models, because supply shock inflation behaves very differently in a credit book than demand-driven inflation does. Now to the part of this story that's most relevant to anyone tracking where capital actually flows. Bank-originated construction and land development lending remains 56% below its 2008 peak, according to NAA and FDIC data. That gap hasn't closed. It's been filled. Private credit platforms like Avalo Real Estate Capital have scaled past $1 billion in committed capital in their second fund, financing 18,000 of a targeted 100,000 residential lots, syndicated with capital from Israeli, Brazilian, Kuwaiti, and Japanese institutions. They're doing it at 10-13% effective rates, well above the 6-8% range banks offered before 2022. The broader fintech pattern here is a multi-year structural handoff. Regulated balance sheets retreat from a risk category, and private capital, increasingly cross-border, increasingly institutional, steps in at a real yield premium. That's not a cyclical blip, it's a redrawing of who actually intermediates housing credit. This migration isn't isolated to construction lending. Generative AI spending inside wealth and self-directed platforms is compounding fast. An estimated $12 billion in 2024, projected to reach $47 billion by 2028, per Juniper Research and Cerulli Associates figures cited by Finextra. Morgan Stanley's internal AI deployment already reaches over 16,000 advisors. On the mortgage technology side, ICE's Encompass platform commands an estimated 50-60% footprint among the top 50 U.S. lenders, following ICE's $11.9 billion acquisition of Black Knight. Standalone point solutions are getting commoditized in that environment. Blend Labs IPO'd near a $4 billion valuation in 2021 and had fallen below $500 million in market cap by 2024. KBW's Bose George is explicitly rotating coverage towards servicing-heavy platforms like Rocket Mortgage and Rhythm Capital, which benefit from a lock-in effect on mortgage servicing rights even as origination volume shrinks. On the regulatory side, three threads deserve attention. The CFPB's proposed Section 1033 open banking rule will require consumer data portability for income and asset verification, with compliance costs estimated at $2 to $5 million per mid-size lender. In the EU, the AI Act now classifies creditworthiness and investment risk scoring systems as high risk, with conformity assessments due before an August 2026 deadline. And on trade, the U.S. imposed 50% tariffs on a range of Canadian goods effective August 21st and 22nd of 2025, part of a pattern exceeding 8,500 discrete tariff changes since January of that year, per geopolitical analyst Peter Zeihan. For anyone pricing trade finance instruments against old USMCA assumptions, that's not noise. Automotive supply chains cross the U.S.-Canada-Mexico border 5 to 6 times, up to 7 for Michigan-based manufacturers, and each of those crossings now carries repriced tariff risk. Last, the risk worth watching into the fourth quarter. Rosenberg flags U.S. household portfolios at a record 73% equity concentration against just 7% in bonds, alongside margin debt at $1.5 trillion. Up 50% year-over-year. Layer on a Shiller-Cape ratio of 41, a level last seen in 2000, and you have a household balance sheet with very little ballast if equities reprice. That's not a forecast. It's a concentration risk sitting quietly underneath a market that's currently being driven by single official Fed commentary and Treasury issuance mechanics rather than by fundamentals. FinTech Thesis Update. What changed today is confirmation that Fed communication has fractured into competing individual signals rather than unified guidance, and that Treasury issuance, not Fed policy, is now the dominant force on mortgage pricing. Combine that with 56% of construction lending capacity structurally vacated by banks, and the thesis holds: private credit, AI orchestration platforms, and compliance-grade fintech tooling aren't opportunistic plays anymore. They're filling a permanent structural gap, watching the rails. Until tomorrow. That's your core brief for today. Thanks for listening. We'll be back tomorrow with more.